Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh,
and I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. And like you just said, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I want to thank the DJ Pastor O for that song this morning because he's shooting me out these butterflies. My name is Deacon Charles Tate. I'm a member of Running for Christ Ministries, and we welcome you to Blog Talk Radio Show sponsored by Running for Christ Ministries. Each and every one of you, I hope you're having a good morning. And we're about to go into the book of Philippians. So as we go into this book of Philippians, I just want you to know what we just talked about, what we just heard about on that same song, J-O-Y, that word joy. You keep that word in your head as we're going through Philippians because, see, that's what it's really all about. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord God, our Father, we thank you once again, Father, once again for allowing us to be in this venue that you provided for us to bring your word all over the world, Father, because you told those 12 people that was with you when you went back to heaven, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's what we're joyful about today, Father. You see, we know that you're sitting on the right-hand side of the Father right now. And even though we're talking to the Father, we're talking to you. So we just ask right now, Father, as we look into this book of Philippians, that you bring out what it is that you want us to get. And Father, after reading it, Father, I know in that song, though, it's all about the joy. It's all about joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity you've given me to sit here today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be what you want me to do, Father. Move me out of the way and let it be all you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Good morning. We're going into the book of Philippians. And I'm going to just jump ahead and let you know. The book of Philippians is Paul's joy letter. And I want to share something with you before we get started with the reading portion. And here we go. The word happiness invokes visions of unwrapping gifts on Christmas morning, strolling hand in hand with the one you love, being surprised on your birthday, responding with unbridled laughter to a comedian, or vacationing in an exotic locale. Everyone wants to be happy. We make chasing this elusive ideal a lifelong pursuit, spending money, collecting things, and searching for the new experiences. But if happiness depends on our circumstances, what happens when the toys rust, loved ones die, health deteriorates, money is stolen, and the party is over? Often happiness flees and disappears, despair sets in. In contrast to happiness stands joy, running deeper and stronger. Joy is the quiet, confident assurance of God's love and work in our lives, that he will be there no matter what. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Christ. Philippians is Paul's joy letter. The letter in that Macedonian city had been a great encouragement to Paul. The Philippian believers had enjoyed a very special relationship with him, so he wrote them a personal expression of his love and affection. They had brought him great joy. Philippians is a joyful book because it emphasizes the real joy of the Christian life. The concept of rejoicing or joy appears 16 times in 4 chapters, and the pages radiate this positive message, culminating in the exhortation to always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. In a life dedicated to serving Christ, Paul had experienced excruciating poverty, abundant wealth, and everything in between. He even wrote this joyful letter from prison. Whatever the circumstances, Paul had learned to be content, finding real joy as he focused all of his attention and energy on knowing Christ and obeying him. Paul's desire to know Christ above all else is wonderfully expressed in the following words. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. May we share Paul's aspiration and seek to know Jesus Christ more and more. Rejoice with Paul in Philippians and rededicate yourself to finding joy in Christ. Now, we just read that Paul wrote this book of Philippians from a Roman jail. Of course, if you know anything about the Roman jail. See, the Romans really didn't have anything against people walking around talking about Jesus. All they really cared about was whether you going to challenge the Roman government. So where Paul was, while we know his jail as being, as we know it, locked up behind bars, nope, this time he was sitting in a house. He was kind of on what we would call house arrest. And he had a imperial guard, which came from the castle, kind of standing by the door. And he was allowed visitors, and he was allowed basically to move around. But like I just said, like he was on house arrest. For those that don't know what house arrest, that means when sometimes you get incarcerated, you get to go home and still do what you're supposed to do. But you got this thing on your leg where you can't go any farther than they tell you to go. But right now, let's get on into the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, and it reads as follows. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I am writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the church leaders and deacons. Now, see, this is a personal letter to the Philippians, not intended for general circulation to all the rest of the church that Paul had went around informed. And if I'm not mistaken, it was like 8 or 9 years between the fact when Paul wrote this letter when he had went and formed the church in Philippi. And see, Paul wanted to thank the believers for helping him when he had a need. And he also wanted to tell them why he could be full of joy despite his imprisonment. An upcoming trial. And this uplifting letter, and this letter right here, Paul counseled the Philippians about humility and unity and warned them about potential problems. Now let's move on to verse 2. It says here, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Now, when I was looking at this and saw those two words, the first thing came to my mind was grace and peace, God's grace and peace. You know, we all know, not all of us, but some of us know that we refer to grace as God's unmerited favor, getting what we deserve to get. But the word that really grabs me when I see that word is peace. You know, we get upset at children who fail to appreciate, and it's Christmas time, so you can relate to this. We get upset with children who fail to appreciate small gifts. Yet we really undervalue God's immeasurable gifts of grace and peace. We seek possessions, shallow experiences that the world offers. Now, compared to the big and bright packages at our culture, grace and peace appears insignificant. But you know, when Paul prayed this for them and said, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. You know, I'm going to just go off the side. You know, when you get into the fact that God himself, the creator of the universe, gave you these two things, and every believer has these two things. They go everywhere with you. They've already been given to you. And we have to learn how to the word I can only think of is wallow in these two things, just submerge ourselves in the fact that we have God's grace and peace wherever we go. And you see, God's peace, I think the Bible talks about it being the peace that passes all understanding. But see, God's peace, I think about this picture that I saw once. And it was a picture that somebody had painted. It was a picture of a storm raging like crazy. Clouds was dark. You see lightning strikes in the picture. And everything seemed to be just in total havoc. But down in the corner of the picture, the painter had put a picture of a bird sitting on a nest. And this bird was just sitting there. And what we have to come to understand, you know, we find an inexhaustible treasure of God's daily presence in our lives. You know, Paul using these two words in his greetings to whom he wrote, Paul wasn't offering something new. He was reminding his readers of what they already possessed in Christ. You know, we really just, you know, thank God for his grace and peace in our lives. And like I said, every believer, this is something that we've attained. You know, I'm going to just say it personally. When I was reading through Philippians, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to lose foresight of those things that are already given to us, that we already have, that money can't buy. But at the same time, when you think about it and just stop and think about it for a minute, we have the peace of God, the presence of God. We got a package that the biggest box you could possibly see, or maybe like in our world, if somebody come up to you and they give you a little bitty tiny box, the first thing you think is of something. I got some jewelry. I got something expensive. I got something that I can really hold on to. But we have the peace of God inside of us. And Paul showed his love for these people by saying to them, may the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Okay, let's move on now. Verse 3. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. You know, this is the first, like I told you, 16. This is the first time that Paul mentioned joy. And his letters, the Philippians were remembered with joy and thanksgiving whenever Paul prayed. By helping Paul, they was helping Christ's cause. The Philippians were willing to be used by God for whatever he wanted them to do. Now, when others think about you, what comes to their mind? Let's stop and think about it for a minute. Are you remembered with joy by them? Do your acts of kindness lift up others? And see, for me, this book got personal because, you see, there's no way that you can sit and read this and not be a believer and not go back and think about these questions that's being asked. What Paul was saying to them, remember now, Paul was in a Roman jail. But he had this great love for these people. And you're going to hear me repeat that over and over again as we go through this book. And these people, like I said, it had been 8 or 9 years since he had seen these people. But apparently they were still doing that thing. They were still doing that thing. And I'm just going to call it that thing. That thing that helped them to understand. And you got to remember now, they didn't have internet in that day. They didn't have computers. They didn't have Wi-Fi or any of that. So somehow or another, over that 8 or 9 year period, Paul had been receiving messages from somebody else to let them know that that church in Philippi was still booming. That's the only way I can think of it. We're booming for Christ. Okay, now let's see where we at here. Verse 5. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. When Paul said that the Philippians were partners in spreading the good news, he was remembering how they contributed through their practical help when Paul was in Philippi and through their financial support when he was in prison. You know, as we help our different ministers and ministries and evangelists relying through prayer, hospitality, and financial gifts, we become partners with them in spreading the gospel message. So I know, just a quick sidebar, I know we talk about doing our tithing, but are you taking some money and putting it aside and making sure it gets to places like Gleaners, people that really come out and help people, people that really come out and do things for people? Have you taken a moment and checked with your neighbor down the street just to make sure that, you know, they had something as simple as toilet paper? We call it simple, but it's a necessity. Are we going out our way to really meet the need of somebody else, and more so just contributing what we have to putting it to? Because I'm going to just say this. Most of us have pretty much everything we need already and some. Matter of fact, we got a little more than the and some. And this is a time of year when Christmas time where we really think about giving. But I know for a fact that, but the Philippian church, I mean, Jesus, they wasn't celebrating trees in Christmas yet. But they were being about the work of Christ, and the work of Christ is making sure that there's not any need left among them. Okay, now let's move on to verse 6. And I know we all know this verse. And I am certain that God who began the good work in you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ returns. The day when Christ returns. You know, the God who began a good work in us continues it throughout our lifetime. And we'll finish it when we meet him, you know, face to face. One day we're going to see Jesus. And we're going to see him face to face. You know, God working us began when Christ died on the cross in our place. His work within us began when we first believed. Now, the Holy Spirit, who's lived inside each and every believer, enables us to do more like Christ every day. And here, Paul is just describing the process of Christian growth and maturity that began when we accepted Jesus and continues until Christ returns. Question. Do you sometimes feel as though we are, you know, you're not making progress in your spiritual life? No. When God starts a project, he completes it. You know, stop and think about it. We're talking about the God that made all the creation. He just spoke it into existence. But, I mean, we don't see one tree growing, the other one not, do we? We don't see half of the ocean full and the other not, do we? We're not riding on a lopsided earth. And when you think about the fact this same God is the one that made each and every one of us, you know, look at yourself sometimes and just look at how fearfully and wonderfully you were made. You know, as with the Philippians, God will help you grow in grace until he has completed his work in your life, and he will. And we never really stop growing, okay? We never really get that magna cum laude or whatever the highest degree that you can get until we get to stand before him. We're all just a work in progress. For the one that's feeling right now, just like I do sometimes, that I'm not doing what the Lord said he was going to do, always remember this verse when it talks about the God that began the good work in you, he's going to complete it. He's going to finish it. And when you feel incomplete, and he promised to finish the work, when you feel incomplete, unfinished, distressed, shortcomings, remember God promises and provisions. You know, don't let your present condition rob you of the joy of knowing Christ or keep you from growing closer to him. How do you grow closer to him? One of the ways to get into his word. You know, the one part about it is that this letter that he wrote to us, it is just get into his word. And then the Bible also tells us that if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. Okay, we're moving right along. Let's go on to verse 7. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. You know, have you ever longed to see a friend with whom you share fond memories? You know, I'm sure we all got somebody to somewhere in our life that we don't see every day, and we wish we could just see him one more time. You know, Paul had this same feeling when it came to the Christians at Philippi. His love and affection for them were based not merely on past experiences, but also on the unity that comes when believers draw upon Christ's love. You know, I'm going to just go ahead and say this. I know I got some of my church members listening, and so I'm going to just go ahead and put this out there, and I know there's some other people out there listening that feel the same. You know, I get up every Sunday morning, and I'm going to just confess it to the whole world. I get up every Sunday morning, and I say, I ain't going. I don't feel like going. I don't want to go. I want to just stay here. Today we can say we'll watch it on TV. We'll watch it on the Internet. You know, Lord, you know, I know you here with me, so me and you just going to hang out. But then I find myself walking out of that door. And it ain't just because of me. I'll be honest with you. I got my roommate here that he would not miss church for anything, Pastor Terrence Tate, you know, no anything. Same time, we get in the van, we make that move, we're driving down the street. And then I get there. And maybe I shouldn't say this openly, but I'm going to confess it. Then I get there. And I'm usually one of the first people there. But then everybody else starts to come in. And we shake hands and we greet each other. And do you know, everybody that walks through that door, I've come to realize that I got a special love for each and every one of them. And they feel the same way about me. And that alone sometimes removes that when you say you don't want to do, I don't feel like doing, you know, he tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves with others. But at the same time, you never know when it's going to be the next time you might see that individual. We all going to go home to be with the Lord one day. That might be the last time that you see him. So you have to make yourself come to just show the love of God for them. You know, I got some of them that I'm not going to say they get on my nerves, but me, I'm going to just be honest with you, when we talking worldwide, you know, they call me Deacon Grumpy sometimes. But Paul's letter has helped me to come to understand that all that just has to be put to the side, because I love each and every one of them so much. And when we think about the fact that same love, if you allow that love to just go into you, it gets like that sunrise. You know how the sun comes up sometime and it comes up gradually and pretty soon it just bursts open. And then the next thing you know, you got a full sunshine and you looking up and you warm and everything else. But what we have to learn to understand, people, is that, you know, just like Paul was separated from the Philippian believers now, he was longing to be with them again. He really wanted to. And I don't know whether this is Paul's second or third missionary journey. I don't know if he's on his way to his final days or anything like that. But he just wanted to see these people once again. Let's see. Where we at? Verse 8. God knows how much. And let's go back to 7 real quick. And when it says, and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news, my people, that's what we're really here to do, to make sure that the good news about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection goes forth in this world today. That's our sole purpose, is to make sure the same thing that we've received passes on to another individual. You know, you never know. You never know. You might not just be saving another spiritual life, but you might be saving a physical life when you go up to them and talk to them about Jesus. And like Paul was talking about with his people, at the same time, help them along the way. You know what I mean? It's real easy to tell somebody, I don't have it or I can't do it. But it's much more easier to tell that person about the Christ that you know and what he's done for you. You see, sometimes our testimonies are our best ways of witnessing. And at the same time, the lives we live before Christ are our best ways of witnessing. So we have to remember. We have to remember. And time is running short. I'm trying to speed along, but I guess that might be as far as we go right now. But I am going to read verse 8. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. You know, what I want you to do today, I want you to let just Christ's love motivate you to love other Christians and to express that love to them in your own actions toward them. Make it your purpose today. You know, like the words say, love your brother like yourself. That pretty much is going to wrap us up for today. Time went back fast. We're going to get more back into the scripture come next week. It's going to be a slow roll, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm not going to try to speed through this. And I'm really excited about telling you more about what I'm just excited about. I'm just joyful. I am. I'm happy. God bless you and keep you. I'm out.
All right, Deacon Grumpy. Sir Charles Deacon Tate. Yeah, we really enjoyed that lesson. Paul was telling his story despite what he was going through, and he still had joy. And, you know, like you said, it's a testimony, and we all going to have a testimony one day, and that's just to get us where we need to be in the Lord. You know, most of the time, that's what those testimonies are about, just to strengthen us and depending on the Lord and just having joy no matter what you go through in life. Okay, good lesson, just some good old homegrown stuff. Okay. Well, hey, thank you, Deacon Tate. We appreciate
all right,
you.
I'm out.
I hope you. I'm one of the ones you like, or don't get on your nerves.
You know I don't like you.
Even me. You do. I'm gonna tell on you.
All right. Well,
thank you. We appreciate
all right,
you
back
so much. Can't wait to hear more. All right. Get your coffee, your tea, your crumpets, and we will see you on the other side and start our service after this song. All right?
Time to let love show.
Time to let love show.
In time.
Time for
All right. It's Christmas time. What a joy. Jesus is the reason for the season. Happy holidays, everybody. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly. And we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, start out with scripture and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital. And the word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own deaconess, Loretta Welch. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good this morning. Feeling blessed.
Great. Go with it. Amen.
Okay. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners and my Runner for Christ Ministries family. As you know, my name is Deaconess Loretta Wells, and I'm here to bring you the morning scripture. And it is entitled, The Season of Giving, and it comes from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. And it reads as follows. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who can plant generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever, for God is the one who provides the seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce great harvests of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Amen. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who takes part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted up to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher for a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and preach word so that all who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these grateful blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Loretta, for that scripture and prayer, and we just appreciate you, and have the best day ever.
And you do the same, Kathy.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Mm-hmm. When I call your name out from the valley, you come, you come. And when I call your name out from the hills, you come, you come. I wanna be where you are, 'cause you are where I am. I wanna be where you are, 'cause you are where I am, yeah. Oh, when I call your name out from the valley, yeah.
You come, you come.
And when I call your name out from the hills, Yahuwah, my yeah. That I wanna be
song to me all week long, saying this is the song I want to hear after the scripture and prayer. Amen. And we get to dwell in that secret place under the guidance, under the hand, under the wings, under the feathers of the Almighty God. We are protected. Amen. Amen. You know, I love it that we can have this intimate relationship with the Lord. Yes, we have a collective relationship because we're all a part of the body of Christ, right? But then we get to have an intimate one-on-one relationship with him as well. We get to steal away, just like Jesus came here to give us all a relationship with the Father, but yet the scriptures tell us that he would steal away to his Father, and he would speak to him about things that only his Father knew. And it's awesome that we have a Savior who he is the only one who really knows what we deal with. Man, that is so awesome that we can have that kind of close relationship with the Lord. And guess what? We need it. You know, I've been reading my first book. You all know I'm reading my books for the winter. And I've got down to the place where Jesus is now strengthening his disciples because they don't really know it, but he's about to leave. He's about to ascend back into heaven, and they don't have a clue. They don't even have a clue that he's going to the cross. He's going to be crucified and raised on the third day, even though he told them three times. And I was reading about how he got arrested in the garden. It's a blow-by-blow event kind of thing. And at the end of it all, the disciples all scattered. They ran off just like Jesus said they would. He said, y'all going to leave me, and y'all going to leave me all alone, but yet I'm not alone because my Father is with me. I'll never forget watching Jesus in that garden as he prayed three times for his Father to take it away and then prayed two times for his Father to strengthen him because it can't be taken away. Got to go to the cross. The point I'm trying to make to you is this, that Jesus was trying to prepare his disciples to, after he ascends into heaven, to not stop believing And Jesus is praying to his Father to strengthen him in the flesh so he can keep believing and go to the cross. Not my will, but thy will be done. If the cross can't be taken away, then Father, strengthen me to do what I got to do. The point is, y'all, we believe in the Lord. We trust, lean, and rely on him. But the point is this, when the problem comes, will we keep on believing? Amen.
his only hand was God's word carrying him. And even when it hurted him the most, he still had faith in his God to lift his voice and declare.
Jehovah Jireh, awesome. As always, Pastor, you took us there. Also, Pastor O, thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Awesome. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this next selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess June Rogers, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, hold on and I'll find you, I'll find you, I'll find you. Just hold on and I'll find you.
I'm hanging on by a thread, and all I'm clinging to is prayers. And every breath is like a battle, I feel like I ain't come prepared. And death's knocking on the front door, pain's creeping through the back. Fears crawling through the windows, waiting for them to attack. They say don't get bitter, get better. I'm working on switching them letters. But tell God I'ma need a whole lot of hope keeping it together. I'm smiling in everyone's face. I'm crying whenever they leave the room. They don't know the battle I face. They don't understand what I'm going through.
The world trying to play with my soul. I'm just trying to find where to go. I'm trying to remember the way. I'm trying to get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to do.
Fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. You. Hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Hold on and I'll find you.
They say fear haunts and pain hates. I say pain strengthens and fear drives faith. And I don't know all of the outcomes. Don't know what happens tomorrow. But when that ocean of doubt comes, don't let me drown in my sorrow. And don't let me stay at the bottom. I feel like this hole is too deep to climb. I've been looking for a way out, but I settle for a peace of mind. Picking up the pieces of my life and hoping that I put together something right. Tell me all I got is all I need. Tell me you gon' help me stay and fight.
The world trying to play with my soul. I'm just trying to find where to go. I'm trying to remember the way. I'm trying to get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to do.
No, don't let the fear make you feel like you can't fight this on your own. You know I'll be there for you no matter where you go. You'll never be alone. No. Fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you
on and I'll find you. Wow. That's the word, y'all. Hebrews 11:6 says he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. And I'm noticing a theme this morning from Deacon Charles Tate teaching in Philippians, and basically he was talking about how we are in partnership with God. And then there was the song that Pastor played, You Won't Let Me Down. He made comments about Jesus being in the garden, and he knew when he was in the garden, even though he was facing crucifixion, that God was not going to let him down, and even that we would scatter. So, like I said, what I'm getting this morning from the service so far is just that it's important for us to have a relationship with God. So as we go before the throne this morning, I would ask you to think about, what is your relationship with God? How intimate are you? Can you cry on to him, Daddy, and mean it? Or is there space between you and him, too much space? Only you can answer that question. But he says that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. So always remember that. Let us pray. Blessing to you, Lord God of all. You are worthy of all the praise, glory, and honor for who you are. So we start this conversation reflecting on your goodness, your love, and your mercy. You didn't have to make us, but you did. You did not have to allow us to call you our Father, but you do. You didn't have to bestow all the love you do, but you pour out your blessings in abundance, and we thank you. Yet we do not reciprocate. We toss our leftover comments your way, rarely acknowledging you or our wrongdoing, which separates us from you. And so before we get started, please cleanse our minds and hearts, for we are sorry for sinning against you. Please forgive us, Lord. You know we are a mess, and this is why you made provisions for us through the sacrifice of Jesus dying for our sins. Again, please forgive us. Father, although we know that the time when your son was birthed into the earth is not exactly at the same time of the year we celebrate what is known as Christmas, we do know that you sent Jesus into the world. Isaiah 9 foretold the coming of Jesus, saying, "For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." Oh, yes. What a proclamation. But why was Jesus' first coming foretold? Because we needed to know. Yes, Lord God, you tell us what we need to know in advance. Lord God, you told the children of Israel what to expect numerous times, including involving famines, and what to expect from enemies. Lord, not only did you tell them what was coming, you gave them very specific instructions on what to do, how to defeat the enemy, and what direction to go in. When Pharaoh refused to release the Israelites, you initiated the Passover. To save your people, you gave specific instructions about preparing a sacrifice to obtain blood that was to be posted on the doorframe so that the death angel would pass by their homes, and things happened just the way you said they would. Father, we have questions and we need answers. We need answers for dealing with an enemy virus that seems to always be steps ahead of us as it mutates its way into our bodies, cutting such a destructive path through the earth that even the great science and medical minds have grown weary. And just like they're saying, we may be tired and done with COVID-19, but it is not done with us. Father, I fear we are missing something important that may be staring us in the face, but you know everything. So Lord, please tell us, or tell your entrusted prophet to spread the word for how we really can protect from the onslaught of a deadly virus that has killed millions of people. Oh, Lord God, we really need answers. Sexual perversion against children is so prevalent in our land that it has become commercialized. Some people would sell their own child to rid themselves of parenthood or to support a drug habit. An entire underground industry exists of child pornography that unleashes the evil mind of the child rapist. Lord, how can anyone do something so evil? Well, you've told us in your word just how it happens. In James 1, it says that when tempted, no one should say, God has tempted me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. You don't do that, Lord. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. No, we cannot blame you, God, for our refusal to follow your word, and we end up in sin. We need to be watchful and check ourselves and our children when evil thoughts permeate our minds, which feeds temptation. So when we see our own children going down the crooked path or even before, then we need to raise them in the way of your word so that as they grow, they know right from wrong and will not depart from it. Lord, so your word provides answers for prevention. Now we need to know, how do we protect the youngest among us from perverted-minded people that would use them sexually as if they were no more than just a dirty rag? Father, we need so many answers. The United States Drug Enforcement Administration announced this week that so far 15,000 pounds of fentanyl powder has been seized this year. And what's so astounding and troubling about this is that's enough to kill every single American. How do we keep a drug like fentanyl that is so deadly as to be called a serial killer off the streets? Here's another problem, Lord. What do we need to start doing and stop doing so that we do not destroy this beautiful planet that you made just for us to live in? Father, you've allowed astronauts to go into space. How can we just ignore that this place here is the one that you have tailor-made for us? We've checked out these other planets. Again, you have allowed us to go into space, and clearly they were not made for us. We can't walk on them. There's no food there to eat or water on them that we can drink. We can't even breathe on them. Yet, we are so messing up the earth that a tornado system cut a path of destruction 200 miles long, a situation that history tells us is extremely rare. But things like this are becoming the norm. What should we do, Lord? Oh, Lord, I could go on and on about what we need to know. Things where the only trustworthy and competent answers must come from you. God, we love how you operate. Your answers are relevant, for you know when the enemy comes and when he goes. You can see a blow before it could even land. Lord, there is one possibility I know that needs consideration. Are you telling us and we're just not listening? This morning, Lord God, we put our ability to listen to you and your prophecies on the altar. We embrace the prophecy at the beginning of Isaiah 9 for what I read about the coming of the Messiah. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep dark, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. And so we release right now all our cares, worries, needs, and wants into the only hands that are able to hold and handle them. Father, we pray that your will is done everywhere. You said that your wish is that none would perish, but that all would have everlasting life. We stand on your word that you have not given up the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. We acknowledge, Lord, that if we keep our mind stayed on you, that you will keep us in perfect peace. Lord, let us not be selfish and to especially remember your charge to us to love each other as we love ourselves, and your even greater charge for us to love each other as you have loved us. Lord, we need to show forth that love in every case, even unpleasant situations where we feel conflicted in our flesh. I should say especially in those situations. Lord, you know that there is a former police officer named Kim Potter on trial for shooting a young man named Deontay Wright. She says she thought she reached for her taser and instead grabbed her gun. This was a true tragedy. Sometimes we do things that we do not mean to do, but there are consequences. In this case, a young man was killed when Potter fired a gun she says she thought was a taser. Lord, I cannot see into her heart like you can. I can say she truly looks like a broken woman now, and she looked like a broken woman at the scene when this horrible incident happened. Was it a crime? A jury will decide that in weeks to come. I pray you will give them wisdom to really look at the issues with a sober and unbiased mind so that after they render that verdict, they will have peace in their hearts. Was the act a sin? Lord, you know, and I pray that the former officer knows you and has called upon you to help her and that she will continue to do so. Lord, I pray for all of us watching and witnessing these atrocities going on in the United States and around the world. We are your children, and we cannot react and behave in ways that are contrary to your word. If we're going to crucify a person for actions that constitute an accident, as if the behavior is intentional because the victim's skin color is that of our own, we are not behaving like your children. As your children, we need to ask the right questions. In this case, why was Deontay Wright pulled over in the first place? Racial profiling is wrong and is sinful. Officer Wright admitted that it was not a good decision to pull the young man over for expired plates during this time of COVID where the Motor Vehicle Administration is closed. And while it is technically wrong to have an air freshener hanging from a rearview mirror, that offense is often used as a pretext for an officer to pull a person over. Lord, racial bias is wrong. You do not treat us different because of the color of our skin, and we should not do this to each other. I beg of you to give us answers, Lord, for how we can get those in authority to see how wicked their prejudices are. Officer Potter seemed most concerned at the scene about the possible consequences of her behavior, saying, "I'm going to prison," than instead of the shooting of Deontay. So be it. If the only way that the prejudiced officer will recognize that their sin can have consequences, let them see in this case. Lord, I thank you for the body cameras police wear consistent with Ephesians 5 and 11 to expose evil. I thank you for all the cameras and technical equipment that exposes evil. Just as I was preparing this prayer, I heard a report about a Supreme Court justice in Louisiana whose home was being burglarized by a black man who, of course, was wrong. As he was being captured, the judge and other voices in her home can be heard. The judge is heard using a racially degrading term and basically referring to black people as roaches. With the audio clip coming to light, there are calls for her resignation and the judge is on leave. She was quoted as asking for understanding, forgiveness, patience, and prayers. And we should give it. Please, Lord, help us see that we can do more than one thing at a time. Even as we seek justice, we can be compassionate. So we offer prayers for that judge, that community, and all who have been a victim of her biased thinking in her courtroom. Let this be a lesson again for her and those who think like her. Even as the U.S. congressman and the former president are exposed for their wrongdoing and leading others to engage in wrongdoing, we pray for true justice and healing. And we pray for mercy. Like in the example of the officer, let it be known that when our hearts are not in tune with you, then we will behave in ungodly ways. Again, Lord, let us all be sober-minded, not just the authorities, but us, your people. If we are simply going to accept the wrongdoing of politicians because we align with their particular party, we are not behaving like your children. Lord, please remind everyone, as you have reminded me, that we are not fragmented. Our civic, family, and church life, indeed the persona we show the world, should not be phony and based on which group we happen to be with at the moment. We need to be honest in our dealings. We need to purify our hearts so that we show the world you, your love, your kindness, and your mercy, so that we show forth to the world that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that you are the real answer to any problem that can come our way. You are the light of the world. Save them, Lord, please. We commit ourselves into your hands once again, seeking your face and asking that you would heal our nations. We are fully aware, as the word says, as your people, call by your name, coming before you humbly, pledging to turn from our wicked ways, that is what will activate your promise of healing our land. If we really want to be in partnership with you, Lord, if we want to see these things happen, we need to be in a good relationship with you, and we need to do what you tell us to do. We pray for true salvation of those in leadership of our nations. You said that the heart of the king is in your hands. We pray that they will seek you and make godly decisions. Let them every day acknowledge and be mindful of the stewardship that many of them pledge to undertake. In this way, our world will be healed, Lord. Help us to see that it is you who is with us. You are leading us into all righteousness. Help us to remember that you always permit those to find you as they earnestly seek you, and that you protect us. Help us also to remember, Lord, that every single one of us have our days numbered. There are people who died in this past week, Father. Some of them were as young as a few months old. Let not one of us get complacent and believe that because we are a certain age that we cannot leave here. And, Lord, we ask that you would comfort the families of those who did depart this earth in the last week, Lord. Comfort them by way of the Holy Spirit. And please put on the hearts of us who call ourselves your children what specifically that you would have us do. You told us to rejoice with them that rejoice and to weep with them that weep. So, Father, if it's to go and hold someone's hand and be there with them as they're going through the stages of grief, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to hearts that are listening and that we will indeed do what you have told us to do. We place all of this at your feet, Lord, our worlds, families, relationships, everything on our hearts. We're leaving it right here at the altar. We will not move until you tell us to. We're going to cast all our cares on you just like you told us to do. So please hear now, Lord, all of the individual requests that are being offered up from across the entire world of worshipers through this broadcast. Those who are listening right now, those who are listening next week, those who will be listening into the distant future, Lord, they have prayers and requests too. We know, Lord, that time, the way we see time here on the earth is not how you see time. And we're thankful for that, that you're the same God now that you will be in the future when people who are praying along with us in the future. I pray that everyone listening is already saved or will be before this service has ended, and we ask that you use this offering of praise, worship, and teaching to draw men and women to you so that they accept your wonderful salvation, Lord. For those who are already saved, we pray that they'll keep pressing on in unity in our faith and knowledge of your Son so we mature. Lord, as we mature, you can use us more. We shouldn't still be the same way we were even a few weeks ago. We need to study your word. It's right there for us. Help us, Lord, when we're by ourselves and we seem to be bored with nothing to do, and you say, hey, open up the word. I got something I want to tell you, something important. Let us not dismiss that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. A lot of the things that we put on the altar and that we pray for this morning, those answers come in those moments. Lord, help us so we measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Father, we recognize that there are not just those that are tuning in live, but as I said before, there are going to be people who are going to tune into the future. And, Lord, they're going to have all kinds of things that are going on. Heaven forbid, but the world, the way we're damaging it, may be even in worse shape than it is now. And things may be really happening. They may be in the middle of a tornado or a hurricane or something really awful, and they're seeking you. They've turned on this broadcast so that they could get some peace. We pray for these souls, Lord. Give them a word for them in their time. And, Father, we know you'll do this because you are a faithful God, keeping your covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love you and who keep your commands. So we bring these petitions as we proclaim you as King, acknowledging you to be that you are, as eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only God. And so we end our prayer this morning as we join heaven. We know in heaven they are declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. So we say to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And now we seal this prayer in the name that is above every name, in the great name that every knee will bow to one day and that every tongue will confess as Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Power and prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Deaconess Rogers, for praying and making our request known to God.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. You know, we appreciate you and have the best day ever.
You too.
Thank you. All right. Power and prayer. So far, we've been having a great time this morning. With more to come, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate. Prepare to receive Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate as he comes in his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor O, for playing that song. You know, that was right up my alley. Won't he do it? Won't he will? Good morning, brothers and sisters around the world. All the awesome listeners of Blog Talk Radio like to welcome you to our broadcast this morning. And let us pray, Lord. We thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for this awesome day that you've given us. We thank you for the rain, the snow, the cold weather. Lord, we know that all of that has a purpose. And help us not to complain about anything, Lord, but to pray about everything, Lord, and to be grateful and thankful just to be in relation with you. We say thank you, Lord. Pray that you would move us through this word. Help me to be a pure vessel, Lord, for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word the Lord provided today is Hebrews chapter 3. And we'll be going through verses 1 through 5. And I'm thankful to be in fellowship with you all this morning. It's been an awesome week. You know, it's been a productive week, and I'm so thankful that the Lord allowed me to experience this week. Even with the highs and lows of it, he's always faithful. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. And verse 1 says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen. Verse 1 again says, keep on loving each other as brothers. You know, yesterday I had the opportunity to sit with who I call one of my big brothers, Dewan Turner. And I ask that you pray for him and his family. His sister went on home to be with the Lord, and he was just expressing how difficult it is to process, you know, a sibling moving on because of the connection that you have with your siblings. And I shared with him that, you know, I am crazy to death about, you know, my brother and my sister, and would pretty much do anything for them. Because of our connection and our love for one another. So when I look at this, I'm reminded of the conversation that him and I had yesterday. Keep on loving each other as brothers. You know, when you look at men and women, regardless of bloodlines or anything like that, or relation, when you look at men and women as brothers and sisters, when you look through that lens, it's different. You know, the way you talk to them, the way you listen to them, the way you think about them, the way you pray for them, it's different. And if we're children of the Lord, we should look at each other as brothers and sisters. And even those who aren't saved, potential brothers and sisters. You know, because if we do our jobs, if we plant the seed and allow the Lord to grow it up in that person, potentially they will be our brothers and sisters in him. And remember, we're all one body in Christ. So when you look at that, if you look at people as their brothers and sisters, it won't be difficult to show them love in action. So we have to keep on loving each other as brothers. Amen. Verse 2 says, do not strangers, for by doing some people have entertained angels without knowing it. So if you're following in the theme of keep on loving each other as brothers, then it won't be difficult for us to be hospitable and to make people feel comfortable or at home, regardless of if they're in your home or just in your presence, to never know, you know. And I had a conversation, and I can't remember his name, but he was a deacon at Gordy Memorial Church, and we were having a conversation. I met him through one of my other big brothers, Chip Agee. We were just having a conversation, you know, about how good the Lord is and how to treat people no matter what their level of life is, you know. And this brother had, you know, Vietnam vet, had been around the world, and, you know, was an older brother, you know, and I respected, you know, him as an elder. But he was just discussing how times where he interacted with folks and didn't judge them, and how the Lord would bless their conversation, or, you know, bless him afterwards or even during the interaction. And, you know, I thought about that because, you know, I'm a firm believer that you treat people right. You know, yeah, that's the golden rule, treat people how you want to be treated. You know, but if you do so, you will be hospitable. You will show love. You will be considerate and empathetic to how someone's feeling. You know, so everyone that you see out holding a sign or asking for change or food, everyone is not scamming. Everyone is not hooked on drugs or alcohol. The truth of the matter is that with the disparity of wealth in this country, with the economic gap between classes, there are poor people who need food. There are people who are destitute. And you could sit back and judge, and I've done it, you know, and say, hey, you know, well, I grew up, you know, under the poverty line, but I did this, 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 and this. The reality is that was God's grace and mercy. He put a village around me that wouldn't let me fail on purpose. So I had to hook up from birth, period, regardless of how much money we had or not in our household. I had to hook up because of God's grace and mercy. But the Bible says the poor will always be among you. But the reality is that we have a job to do in terms of being hospitable and showing love to our brothers and sisters and our potential brothers and sisters. Because you don't know someone's story. The Lord knows. But he wants us to let our light so shine before men so that they will glorify him. That means we have to be the light and push the darkness out. And it says some people have entertained angels without knowing it. You never know if that person that you ride and pass is an angel. You wouldn't know that. So even if I don't reach in my pocket and pull out change or, you know, a few dollars or whatever the case may be, sometimes I'll just ride past and I'll cut the music down or off and just pray for them. You know, I pray for their salvation and that their needs will be met and that they will draw closer to the Lord and be intimate with him. I'll pray that because, you know, we're supposed to be talking to the Lord, praying without ceasing, like constantly. But you never know. You know that we'll find out when we get to heaven and we have to stand before our elder brother when he's running it down, what we did, good or bad. So let's keep that in mind. Let's be hospitable. Let's show love. Let's look at people as our brothers and sisters versus our enemies or our associates or our friends. You know, the true definition of being a friend is somebody who will lay down their life for you. That's worth. That's why Jesus said, I call you my friends, because I lay down my life for you. Think about that. Verse 3 says, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourself were suffering. You know, over the years, I've had former students, I've had friends who were incarcerated. My main thing with them was to write a letter or two and let them know that, hey, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you, you know, and not to that I haven't forgot about you, you know. And that's something that we need to consider, because so many times we don't know people's stories. We don't know if there were trumped up charges. We know that Jesus, you know, they trumped up charges on Jesus as far as, you know, false charges. But at the end of the day, we don't know the story. But it's saying right here, just real simple, remember those who are in prison as if you were their fellow prisoner, as if you were someone in their position or in their shoes. You know, it's so easy to cast judgment on folks without putting yourselves in their shoes. You don't know the whole story. Only the Lord knows, and that's between them and the Lord. But even if it's, you may not write. I mean, I work for the Department of Corrections, so there are people that I know that are locked up in Michigan. I can't extend myself to, but I can pray for them. I can keep them lifted up before the Lord and not forget about them. You know, I've seen so many positive stories come out of the Department of Corrections. It's just an awesome experience. You know, I was able to participate in a program, in a presentation at a school where I was able to hang out with and present with a guy that was locked up 40 years, a guy that spent 25 years in prison, and they were out and they had turned their lives around and they were, you know, making changes and doing positive things, speaking to kids and, you know, setting up nonprofits. And, you know, actually the guy was just featured on Channel 2 because they're associated with a boxing gym in Detroit. But, you know, I didn't look at them and judge them. You know, honestly, they looked like me. You know, they were just older, you know. But we have to look at the big picture. The Lord has not called us to judge. We are in no position to judge. You know, and even in my position with the Department of Corrections, I don't judge. I try to coach people into moving to what's next, understanding where they are now, where they've been, and where they're going. You know, so let's keep that in mind. And then it says, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Again, being empathetic. You know, if you love folks, it's easy to say, I love everybody, I love the Lord. But are you putting these things into practice? Are you loving people and looking at them as your brothers and sisters? Are you being hospitable, not knowing if you're entertaining an angel or not? Are you remembering those who are in prison, who are locked up? Do you show empathy for people who are suffering? Just imagine if you were suffering. You know, my heart goes out to people who deal with the pain of cancer, for example, because I always hear that over the years, how painful cancer can be and how much it is, how much of a suffering people deal with and go through. And my heart goes out to them, but I pray for them. You know, I give thanks for each and every one that's around the world. And I pray for their healing and restoration and for salvation for those who are on their way to the Lord. Because the sad reality is there are going to be some who reject the Lord, period. That's what the word says. Because they get so caught up in themselves and what the world says and not what the word says. So if we genuinely call ourselves Christians, we should demonstrate love in action, because that's what this is about in Hebrews 13:1-5. Amen. Amen. And verse 4 says, Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Remember that marriage is the earthly representation of our relationship with the Lord. You know, I thank one of my sisters who gave me something this week, and it really, really blessed me and helped me. Tavia Elliott, I had to call her name because I asked her, I said, you know, how do you put off certain bad habits? And she said, you know, you have to look at that bad habit through the Lord's eyes and how he feels about it. And then if you do that, if you identify that the Lord is disgusted by sin and it grieves him, then you will start to put into practice the opposite of that habit. So if you are a serial cheater or serial fornicator or adulterer, whatever the case may be, and you know that sin in general disgusts the Lord, then it will change your taste and your lust for it. If you put into practice resisting evil and fleeing temptation, because that's what the word commands us to do. So if we look at things that way through the Lord's eyes in terms of sin disgusts me, it grieves me, it causes me severe irritation, then we will understand that then my loyalty and my marriage to the Lord I will honor. So it will be easy to put into practice honoring your earthly marriage to your husband or your wife. And it says marriage should be honored by all. We should respect it. We should hold it in high regard because of the spiritual meaning of it, how we as a church are the bride and Christ is the groom. And then it says, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. I will share this with you. I was once married. I'm divorced now. But to be honest, it was an awesome thing to be able to engage with my spouse and not feel the guilt of sin, because we were married in a covenant relationship that was covered and blessed by the Lord. So I will tell you this. It always feels good to do it the Lord's way. It's always better. It's always cheaper. It's always less painful. Yes, we're going to have trials and tribulations. That's part of what life is, what we go through. And he promised that in the Word. But again, if we look at it through the Lord's eyes, if we develop the taste that he has, the disgust for sin, then it will be easier for us to put certain things into practice in terms of how we walk, how we have our being on this planet. You know, because there were some bad habits that I thought I couldn't shake, and now it's like, it's disgusting to me. In progress, I won't sit up here and attest to saying I'm perfect and I've arrived. I feel like when you arrive, that's when you cross the finish line into glory. That's how I feel about it. So we should honor marriage, and the marriage bed should be kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral, period, regardless of what the world says. I don't want to have to stand before the Lord and just be totally pitiful. I want to have some good stuff, you know, credited to my account. So we just have to work at it, brothers and sisters. We really do. Amen? Amen. Verse 5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I understand how we can get caught up loving money, because a lot of people think that money solves all their problems. There have been times in my life where money wasn't an issue at all, and I was just disgusted, broke, busted inside, because I wasn't allowing the Lord to do what he needed to do, because I was closing and shutting them off. I wasn't listening and being obedient. You know, so money does not fix all your problems. It may fix some of them, you know, and that's just the reality, but money is a tool. You know, it's a small resource, no matter how much you have, because at the end of the day, if your spirit leaves your body, everything you have in your account, everything you have under your mattress, in the sock drawer, in the safe, somebody else is going to pillage through it like never before. So it's really not that important. It has no eternal weight whatsoever. It's just temporary to help us move and groove down here. But it says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. When you show that you're content with what you have, you're telling the Lord, hey, I appreciate you, because you didn't have to give me what I had. You didn't have to do what you've done for me. The Lord has chosen to love us and to bless us with our needs and in our wants and our desires and everything. The Lord made a choice to do that. He didn't have to. The Lord doesn't have to give you a good paying job or good benefits. He doesn't have to do that. So we should be content with what we have. I remember one time I had an older car, and I was like, Lord, I want a new car, and this and this and this and this. You know, I'm just treating him like a genie in the lamp. And he said, hey, look on the floor in your car. And it was crumbs, it needed to be vacuumed. And he said, take care of what you got. Be content with what you had. So I started looking at the car differently. I vacuumed it. I would keep it clean. I started fixing some stuff that was wrong on the car. And as soon as I got the car together, Lord blessed me with a brand new car. Not too long after that. He knows what we want. He knows what we need. But we have to get to a place where we don't love money and we're content with what we have. And like every week, I clean, you know, my home. You know, I vacuum, I do the floors, make sure no dishes in the sink, scrub the toilets, clean the sinks, tubs, you know, wipe stuff down, dust. I do that throughout the week, every week, to show my appreciation for my shelter. When the weather permits, I take my car to the car wash. I get it washed, where they vacuum and clean the mats and wipe it down, clean the windows. I'm trying to show my appreciation for what the Lord has blessed me with. I wash my clothing, I fold them, I put them away. I show my appreciation for what he's given me. And I'm learning and still learning to be content with what I have and not to love money. Because money won't solve all of my problems. Money won't bring my mother back from heaven. You could offer my mother all the money in the world, she wouldn't come back. Let's keep our lives free from the love of money and be content with what we have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. The Lord is not going anywhere from us. He has us and we have him. And he won't forsake us. He won't turn his back on us, no matter what you go through, no matter what you face. You know, this earlier this week, I listened intently to Dr. King's speech, his last speech, public speech, The Mountaintop. And I listened intently, and I realized that Dr. King knew that the Lord had revealed to him that time wasn't long on earth. He had gave him a peek of the promised land. That's why he could say, I may not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. Now, we still headed in that direction because we still got work to do. But even facing death, he understood that the Lord had never left him and didn't forsake him or turn his back on him. He was getting him prepared for his flight. And even Jesus in the garden realized that my Father hasn't left me and he hasn't turned his back on me, even though I feel like I'm going through hell right now. Because remember, Jesus was human. He knew what he was getting ready to face. He could feel it in his mind, body, and spirit. He knew what was getting ready to happen. And he faced that for you. I'm thankful that the Lord went through what he went through thinking about John, about me pumping myself up like I'm special. It's just that I'm special to the Lord because he went to the cross in my deserved place. And I plead with you, I beg you to choose Jesus today if you haven't already. The way things are going on in this world, you can see the end is near if you're paying attention. And all you have to do is believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for all of your sins and the sins of the world, past, present, and future. Stuff that I may do next week or tomorrow, it's already been paid for. But first, you got to believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the grave to pay for all of your sins. It happened. Regardless of your position, whether you're atheist, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Jesus rose from the grave. Period. There were witnesses that saw him after his crucifixion. Because those two thieves that were on the crosses beside him, they didn't rise from the grave. They remained dead. But Jesus rose from the grave. That's why we celebrate Easter, resurrection morning. That's why we celebrate it. So if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for your sins, that's the first part. The second part is inviting him in, confessing that you're a sinner. And if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the grave to pay for your sins, the second part is you just have to repeat after me genuinely in prayer and say, Lord Jesus, I am an admitted sinner. I confess that I don't live the way you want me to, and I was born into sin. But I ask you to come into my heart and life, eternity with you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you believed that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for all of your sins, and you prayed that prayer and you invited him in, then you're saved. You've punched your ticket on in heaven. Now, all I ask is that you get into a good Bible-based church near you. If you're in the Metro Detroit area, I personally invite you to Runner for Christ Ministries, a ministry of teaching, learning, and doing that's based on the Bible. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you journey through these five verses. We thank you for your instruction in all of our lives, Lord. And we thank you for what was done at the cross for us and how our elder brother championed over the grave and received all victory and power and glory. We say thank you for this awesome fellowship together, and I pray that someone got saved today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Jonathan Tate, for that word. Absolutely amazing. And as I was listening, so much was said, but, you know, one of the things that we have to remember is that this life, it's not about us. There's a big picture that we need to be paying attention to, and it's very easy to be judgmental of people whose circumstances you're just unaware of. You know, it's human nature to always try to say that someone is different than you or that you're better than them because of, you know, whatever circumstances. And, you know, we as human beings, we tend to categorize people and label them so that we can box them up and, you know, determine based on who we think they are or what they may have done. You know, you were speaking about those in corrections, you know, and we decide whether or not we even want to be bothered with them. But we have a responsibility to love people with the love of Jesus Christ and love others the way that he loved us, because just because we're saved, we don't deserve it any more than anyone else. You, I work in a profession, you know, where I'm in a position to determine whether or not a person is eligible just for, you know, basic necessities of life. And I hear all types of stories and see all types of circumstances, you know, and it kind of hardens you, and it makes you not really want to be bothered with other people just because it's what you, you know, would deal with all day. And so, you know, I'm quickly put in a position to be judgmental with every person that I talk to, but I just don't have that right. And so I first John 1:9 that thing real quick, and I asked for, you know, humility. And so Pastor has told us many times that the blood of Jesus is the only thing that saves us all, because without him, we are all going to the same place. Amen. And so we just have to remember that we are all the same, and we have to project the love of Jesus onto others. Like you say, you might be entertaining angels and have no idea, you know, and so we have a purpose. We're here for that purpose, and we may all look different on the outside, but we all bleed red, and that's absolutely no coincidence. And so we have to love Christ. We have to love others as Christ loves us, and just like you said and you reiterated that he will never leave us and will never forsake us, and it's really important that we work hard to not leave our fellow brothers and our sisters behind. So just an amazing word. I mean, I could go on and on forever. So we just want to say thank you for that word. Just those five verses, just so much information, but we have to remember that this life is not about us. It's about Jesus, and we have so many things that we have to do. Like you always tell us, time ain't long, saints. So, you know, we gotta get on our job. So thank you, Pastor Tate, for bringing us the word. We know Pastor's going to come back and probably bring you back, too, for some closing words. So thank you for what you brought to us today. It was absolutely amazing. So good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of our Blog Talk Radio listeners, old and new, who tuned in this morning to our amazing Sunday. No, this is not Sunday. This is Saturday. Saturday morning worship service here on Blog Talk Radio. As always, we want to say thank you to the pastor of the hour again, Pastor Jonathan Tate, for bringing us the amazing word that he brought to us today. Just five verses, and all that came out of those five verses. So that's absolutely amazing. We know that the word of God is inexhaustible. And so we know that he's always ready to bless us with a word from the Lord. And so we thank it seems like Pastor Tate preach all the time. I feel like he always teaching a class, always here on Blog Talk, always preaching in church. So we just want to thank Pastor Jonathan for always being ready to bless us with the word from the Lord and for his faithfulness and his consistency, but most of all, his obedience to preach and teach the word to us. And so we pray that all of you who are listening or will be listening in the future were blessed in some way by what you heard on this morning. Amen? Amen. So Running for Christ Ministries is the only address that you really need to know on Sunday morning. Amen. It's located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Really quickly, I need everybody to listen up. We've got a new announcement. You're only going to hear it this week because next week is Christmas, so you got to hear it today. All right? So listen up. So we will have our annual History of Christmas Story presented to us by our very own Pastor O
on Thursday, December 23rd at noon right here on Blog Talk Radio. So you want to make sure that you're setting yourself a reminder to tune in. And so we know that Pastor has done this every single year for quite a number of years, and he could easily just play a previous Blog Talk recording of it and continue his winter reading with his feet up and sipping some coffee. But yet he will be here live giving us the history behind why we buy Christmas trees, why we hang stockings, why we leave out cookies and milk, why we give gifts, and, of course, why we talk about the big guy in red himself, Santa Claus. Amen. So this is an amazing story. Please make sure to tune in to our annual History of Christmas story here on Thursday, December 23rd at noon. Amen. Amen. So, as other reminders, every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, Reverend Richard Overall here on Blog Talk Radio in his series Training Day. He is lighting it up, setting on fire every single week. If y'all not listening, y'all are missing out, okay? So tune in Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Also, our Bible reading classes here on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Deacon Oliver Welch is doing an amazing job in his chapters of Psalms. So this week will be Psalms chapters 46 to 50. Questions are emailed on the church website, on the back table for those who are in Sunday service. RFCM.org is the church website. You'll find them there under Bible classes if you need them. Also, every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries, the ladies' Bible class is happening from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. We know Janice Tate is the teacher for the ladies' Bible class every Saturday at 11:30 a.m. So you got to call Pastor Tate to be able to get in to the class. So just go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources, and you will find the phone number to be able to call in and participate in the Saturday morning ladies' Bible class. Amen. You guys know we're in person in our services. So tomorrow, Sunday, December 19th, we'll be having our Sunday worship service beginning at 10 a.m. in person. Sunday worship service, 10 a.m., not 7. Everyone is welcome to join us. But as you know, if you do, we're asking that everyone who attends to please wear a mask. If you don't have one, no worries. One will be provided for you so that everyone can remain safe in our service. Our praise team, our amazing praise team, will lead us in our song worship. And Pastor O is in his series, Faith, Finances, and You. He started it last week. We do this every year at this time. Absolutely amazing, because people like me, hard-headed heathens, they just don't listen. So we need faith, finances, and you every single year. So Pastor will continue in Faith, Finances, and You tomorrow, bringing us the preached word. Amen. And so we continue to say we're so thankful to God for allowing us to return in person and to see one another. It's so, so very important. Just like my papa, Pastor, well, not Pastor, Dickie going to get me for that one, Deacon Charles Tate, talked this morning, you know, about how he goes into church, and as, you know, people come in, one person after another, you know, it just makes you feel some kind of way to see people and having, you know, personal relationships and just loving on each other when we're able to see each other is really a big deal, and it just really makes you feel good. So we're happy to be able to come in and see one another. But if you're not able to attend or you're still not comfortable with being in person, absolutely no problem. Excuse me, we fully understand that. So please feel free to listen to the service on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. I know Pastor usually sends out an email when it's on the church website, able to be listened to. And then you can also go, again, to rfcm.org, and you'll be able to find our 10 a.m. service there. Amen. Amen. Also, every Sunday, 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn here on Blog Talk Radio with Back to the Family. You can go to our church website, again, rfcm.org. Under Christian Resources, you will find her call-in number and the link to her show page there. Also, check out her website, bbtfus.com, bringbackthefamilyus.com, for more info. Reminder that all of our classes and our services here are recorded, archived, and free. rfcm.org, under Blog Talk Radio tab, all the classes and our services will be there for you to access, again, for free. Download them and make sure to share them with others. Amen. If you want to bless us here at Run for Christ Ministries, give a free will love offering, you want to pay your tithes or give any outreach ministry offerings that we support. Again, rfcm.org. You'll find all the info there. Also, if you want to give a love offering for Pastor Jonathan Tate, who brought us that amazing word today, rfcm.org, under tithes and offerings, you'll be able to give your love offering there. Just notate that it's for Pastor Jonathan Tate, and it will be passed on to him accordingly. Amen. Amen. Also, I'm sliding this in. Let's not forget to support our own Pastor O in his new book release, as well as our own Pastor Jonathan Tate, who you just heard, in the release of his very first book. So you can find this information for pastors, but we got a lot of book writers that run for Christ. We got Pastor O, we got Pastor Jonathan, we got Deaconess Jude Rogers, we got Pastor Janice Tate, we got Minister Janine. I mean, this book writer's all up and through Run for Christ Ministry. So just go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources. Also, you will find the full Kingdom Agenda classes, as well as the Christian Doctrine class from the book Major Bible Themes. All of the recordings are there as well. So much information on our church website. It's awesome. Pastor's doing a wonderful job with that. So please go check it out, rfcm.org. Amen? Amen. So John chapter 14, 22 through 27 reads, then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we know that we must seek God in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it's our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that each and every one of us have, that God has created for us. Amen? Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we know that when you pray first, over time you will find yourself praying continually. And so we ask your continuous prayers for those who are sick, shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated, making sure that we're praying for one another personally. And, of course, you know, make sure to pray for yourself. Don't leave yourself out. Our children, Lord, have mercy. Please pray for our children, our world, our nation, our leaders, constantly as they face decisions that affect all of us, those who are missing and exploited, those who are being trafficked and sexually abused. Of course, remember to pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world and so much more. When I listen to Dr. June Rogers, Deaconess June Rogers, oh my gosh, her prayer is a sermon in and of itself. I mean, you will talk about being specific. She spoke on things and made it into prayers that we can't even sometimes think about. Like when you see the racism and you see, we know that these things are wrong, but sometimes it's hard to find words to put to that. And so to hear her prayer and to hear how eloquently she put that all together, I mean, it really truly was amazing. And we know that the list of things to pray for is inexhaustible. And so we just ask that you continue to ask the Lord to help you see and know and to reveal to you what it is that you need to pray for. And again, as you continue to pray, first, over time, you will continue to continually pray. Amen. Amen. So we want to send special prayers to all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Please keep Tyrone Hamilton in your prayers, especially as well Pastor John Mack, who is in the hospital, but praise God, he is doing well. We are praying for a speedy recovery for him. We pray, you know, of course, for all of the leaders and administrators and teachers, parents, and especially the students in Oxford, Michigan. We keep them lifted up in prayer, especially and as well as all over the world. There are things that happen as far as, you know, school shootings and things like that that don't always make it on the news. And so we know that these things are continually happening, so we have a responsibility to continue to pray. We also want to pray for those who were, you know, affected by all these storms and tornadoes that just came through and just leveled towns, and people, you know, have lost their homes and their loved ones and things like that. Just so, so much happening. So we want to keep them lifted up in prayer as well. And I'm going to slide in a little special prayer request for myself and my brother and my son. My mom has transitioned into hospice care. And again, we know that hospice is not bad. We don't have a bad viewpoint on it. So it was a transition that happened. So we do ask that you keep us all in your prayers as well. Amen. We also want to ask that you please continue to keep our lovely, amazing president, Sharon, Abraham, Carmen, and Alana, and as well as the rest of the Abraham family in your thoughts and in your prayers, and the loss of their loved ones, Juan. Just, you know, no time is a good time, but the holidays, it just hits extra hard. So just keep them lifted up in prayer. Remember to pray all those who are spiritually, you know, lost and confused, and, you know, they're not really sure if Jesus is the way. But John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. So we know that there's no eternal life without Jesus Christ. There's no relationship with the Father without the Son, and there's no receipt of the Holy Spirit without Jesus having gone to the cross on our behalf. And so Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem, your household, and today, time, Judea, community for you, Samaria, outside of your community, your comfort zone, and to the ends of the earth. And that's people and places you like, nah, nope, never. They need the word of God as well, and it's our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Amen. Amen. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. And Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We know that he is Jesus. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All of these things are gone away forever. Just imagine that. So when you're sad, heartbroken over the loss, friends or loved ones, or just even with the loss that we see, hear, and read about all over the world on a daily basis, just use these scriptures as a foundation, as well as many others, to just give you the strength and encouragement that only the Word of God can give you. And so with that, we ask that you please keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and in your prayers. And we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you continually. Again, the holidays are upon us, and we know that this always proves to be a difficult time of year for many people. So please remember to be sensitive and to be caring to those around you and those who you encounter, especially during this time. Amen. Amen. So just for time's sake, you know, Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill can't be hidden. People don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. They put it on a stand, and it gives light to everybody in the house. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We already know that blessings are not always in the form of money or material things. We know that a kind word goes a long way. We know that the gift of love is free, and a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. So please make sure to take some time out to be some sunshine to somebody in your world today, because as Pastor Jonathan Tate preached to us today, Hebrews 13:1-2, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen? Amen. So last month of 2021, y'all, it's the month of December, and we just want to say happy, happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week, or if you're celebrating today, my favorite day of the week, Saturday, we always send special love and birthday wishes to our Run for Christ Ministries family. So my sister Carmen celebrated on the 8th. My favorite Cardinal, Elder Joe Stevens, celebrated on the 9th. Tyra Payne on the 11th. John, Pastor Jonathan Tate's son, celebrated on the 15th. We got one more birthday coming up, and that's my sister Anita, and she will be celebrating on the 31st. So happy, happy birthday to everyone. Amen? Amen. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. So this is Matthew chapter 2, verse 7. So your devotional for today, the man who tried to stop Christmas. King Herod was the man who tried to stop Christmas. With all his wealth and power, he came to complete ruin. Historical writings tell us that in the final year of his life, his body was infected with disease. Ironically, Herod pretended to be a worshiper. He said to the wise man, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. And that's Matthew chapter 2, verse 8. Yet Herod was a false worshiper. There are people like him today. They say they believe in God, but they live a life that contradicts what the scriptures teach. Herod wanted to be the king of his own life, but he really was a slave. He ended up being not the king of the Jews, but the king of fools. Herod ended up on the ash heap of history like dictators before and after him, reminding us that those who live wickedly evil lives will eventually reap what they sow. Adolf Hitler went into his bunker and shot himself as his nation crumbled around him. Saddam Hussein was found hiding in a hole and was eventually executed by his own people. Muammar Gaddafi was hunted down by his own people, beaten and shot to death. All those who blaspheme God, fight with God, or try to stop the work of God will eventually fail. Yet God's word ultimately will prevail. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 says, therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. One day, everyone, every man, every woman, every believer, and every non-believer will bow before the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the reason for the season, and he is why we celebrate. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Okay. Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate
Amen.
You so much.
You're welcome.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. We still Amen. Got the preacher here? Amen. The preacher's still here. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Got
You're
a thousand
welcome.
Things
You're
going
welcome.
On over here.
Of course.
Tell me and we say what's up.
I sure will.
All right, Chris. Amen. Brother Preacher, give us a few words and we're good.
Will do, Dr. O. As always, thank you for the opportunity. Because as we know, Running for Christ, you will put us to work. So I thank you for I thank you for that. And with that, let us pray. Lord, again, we come before you to say thank you for an awesome day, an awesome praise and worship service. Lord, we pray that you receive this as a sweet savor, Lord, from us in love and in us being real with you and transparent and open with you. We say thank you for the opportunities that you've given us, Lord. Help us to be a blessing to someone today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Preacher. Appreciate you. Awesome work on that passage of Scripture. I think everybody
thank
got
you.
Blessed today and ready to go on down the road. Thank you. Tell them, boys, we said, what's up?
Will do. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
All right. Be blessed, my brother. Be blessed.
You too.
Won't he will. All right. Amen. Pastor Jonathan Tate is always saying, won't he will, in the back of the church. And then I knew Canton Jones had that song out, so I thought I'd go ahead and play that. Thought it might put a smile on his face, make preaching just a little bit easier. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Hey, you heard all the announcements. Crystal take a whole lot of time, amen, to get us informed, and we ought to be informed and act on what we hear, and thank God that we get all that. Amen? Amen. Again, she is so thorough, I don't even have to say nothing, but see you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. We're going to talk about that money, y'all, the 90%. We're going to talk about how to make the 90% increase. In Jesus' name, we're going to make it happen. God bless you. See you later.
This year we've been blessed. what's been given to us. Joy that earthly gifts bring soon will pass away. Was it really? But true? Joy is found. It will sustain us. Even when the seasons, even when the seasons pass away. So this holiday season, as you get ready for all the gift giving, I want you to remember this. Don't
forget to
on this Christmas day. Yeah,
help someone.
Take time and spread good tidings. If you can't give presents,
give love.
Yes. All across the world, we've been blessed. Been given to us.
The gifts. Knowing that the joy they bring will soon pass away.
It will soon pass away.
But what's new is now old. It wasn't meaningful.
And was it really, really meaningful to the soul? Listen.
True joy is found
in only. Sustain us.
Jesus,
yes.
When the seasons change.
So this holiday season, as you prepare all the gifts to give, know
as you prepare for the holiday,
that you can't forget to remember,
don't forget to remember
on this Christmas day.
On this Christmas day.
Find yourself helping someone. Yes. Spread good tidings. Yes. This year, only
somebody's
life with a hug.